This is the Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. We're on location today. We are celebrating the 20th anniversary of Letras Latinas, which is directed by Francisco Aragon at the University of Notre Dame. And there's a 9 or 10 month celebration we're launching today for this fabulous program, which produces poetry, publications, prizes, conferences, educations. And two poets are representing this enterprise. They are Eduardo Corral and Carmen Calatayud. So we're going to hear from each one. Eduardo, let's start with you with an opening poem and let everyone hear who you are.
Thank you, Grace. It's a pleasure to be here with you, Carmen, too. This poem is from my first book, Slow Lightning. It's titled Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome. I approach a harp abandoned in a harvested field. A deer leaps out of the brush and follows me in the rain. A scarlet snake wound in its dark antlers. My fingers curled around a shard of glass. It's like holding the hand of a child. I'll cut the harp strings for my mandolin, use the frame as a window in a chapel yet to be built. I'll scrape off its blue lacquer, melt the flakes down with a candle and ladle, and paint the inner curve of my soup bowl. The deer passes me. I lower my head, stick out my tongue to taste the honey smeared on its hind leg. In the field's center, I crouch near a boulder engraved with a number and stare at a gazelle's blue ghost, the rain falling through it.
Eduardo Corral, now you know who he is. That was beautiful. Carmen, let us hear an opening poem.
This poem is from my new book, This Tangled Body, coming out in May 2024, and this is Godmother. There's a woman on her front porch inhaling her cigarette. She's in love with the slender white stick between her fingers. My fingers pretend to play piano while tapping my left arm. Blue-green vein rises, and I stroke it like a purring cat. It's been 4 weeks, heroin, and I need you to feel nothing. There is so much I want to tell you. I want to thank you for being my godmother, for taking me to the church where God doesn't care, and we don't pretend he does. Truth blooms in a way a moon girl can understand. Truth being, there is no me, just velvet junk afterglow that streams from stars into my arm. Wish magic alone could blow my heart open, fill it with a mouth to kiss all the losses. On the sidewalk in front of my feet, a gray feather just landed. A woman lights another cigarette. The smoke smells like her name, Dulce. I pick up the feather and put its point to my vein. Dream of burnt caramel streaming in, lips smacked from fast joy. The sweet blur gone too quick.
Carmen Calatayud, we have two great poets today representing a wonderful program. And I'd like to talk to Eduardo first because he's actually collecting quite a cachet of awards. And I want to say, save some for us, Eduardo. After all, first of all, your book, Guillotine, was by Grey Wolf Press, which is pretty good. Then you won the 2011 Yale Series of Younger Poets, which is as good as it gets. I mean, that is a significant prize. Mm-hmm. So what do you think they liked about it? What do they say? And what do you think about it?
Well, I think one of the things about that first book that Carl Phillips, who was the judge, the new judge that year of the series, talked about that the way he why he selected the book was that there was a plural of approaches, right? There was lyrical fragmentation, lyrics, surrealism, border narratives, persona poems, very eye-centric lyrics. So there's a plural of approaches, and which gave, I think it gives the reader a sense of a language that pulses with a kind of hopefully rich, surreal, magical imagery, but offers no resolutions, all right? Just kind of resonance. And radiant with lyricism and music, I'm hoping, right? I think that's what I remember from the foreword that Carl Phillips wrote. I only read that foreword once, and that was enough, right? You don't internalize that another day.
Well, I think it is really well said, because you have been influenced by the Latin poets, I think.
Yes.
Magical realism. Mm-hmm. And yet there is a real heart at the center of your work. We're going to hear it.
And another huge influence is African-American poetry in my work, specifically in the first book, The Legacy and the Work of Robert Hayden.
Oh, yes. He was actually a friend of this program. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so glad that you mentioned his name. Thank you. That's the whole thing about bringing up the antecedents. Yep. That's what we're all about, the canon. So we're going to hear two poems from Eduardo. And let's hear two together, so we'll get a good taste of you. And while you do that, I'm going to remind them that you were the recipient of, get ready, everybody, the Guggenheim, the Lannan Foundation Literary Fellowship, the Whiting Writers Award, the NEA, oh, I'm getting exhausted, the Hodder Fellowship from Princeton. He could save one of us for us, just one. So let's hear two together, Eduardo.
I'm going to read the title poem from the second book, as you mentioned, titled Guillotine. The scorpions always arrive at dawn. Gently, their pincers touch the cuts on my lips. I clutch the edges of the mattress, stare at the mirrored ceiling. My mouth opens, but no sound staggers out. The scorpions, dark green, dank, reach in. Pull out the razor blade under my tongue. Two scorpions, a razor blade, slowly, in unison, without letting go of the metal, they move, a little guillotine making its way down my body. I remember dragging my thumb through his beard, coppery and difficult. The scorpions pause, tilt the blade, a threat, a reminder. It's my task to stop yearning for as long as it takes them to carry a blade across my skin. My thoughts swerve from monsoon storms to accordions to pecan groves. The little guillotine starts moving again. I begin to sense the enormity of my body, the blade high in the air for now. The second poem is titled Questions from My Body. Why are you nocturnal? How many cathedrals have you entered? Has cruelty ever saved you? Do you remember the length of his thumbs? Isn't that enough cake? Have you ever soaked your feet in gasoline? Do you still fear the virus? How can you sleep in this heat? Is that a soul patch? Did you laugh or cry at Keith's grave? Have you been claimed?
Eduardo, I think I'm falling in love. Really, those are really amazing, original, fresh voices. Thank you so much. I do want everyone to know that you are now teaching at the MFA program at North Carolina State, but that soon you'll be going to the Washington University MFA program in the fall. And is that in St. Louis?
Yeah, Washington University in St. Louis, yes.
I was thinking for a minute, could be Seattle. So is this an exciting move for you?
It is. I just bought a new heavy winter coat because I prepared myself for the Midwest winters again.
I was going to say, get your galoshes, baby. Yeah, but it's very, let us know how it is when you're there.
Thank you.
Carmen is here also. Oh, I want to say, it's very important to say that Eduardo's parents were emigres from Mexico. Mm-hmm. So we are representing Latinas very, very well with Carmen as well. Her parents emigrated from Europe, Spain, and Ireland, both, right, Carmen?
Yes, that's
and,
right.
We're going to hear two poems from you. And I want everyone to know that you are the runner-up, the Academy of American Poets Walt Whitman Award, and a finalist for the Andres Montoya Poetry Prize. Is that good enough for you? Do you need the award every once in a while?
Sometimes you're just a runner-up, but that's still a wonderful thing, right?
The Walt Whitman is the most competitive prize in America. I think they get like 10,000 applicants, so I wouldn't worry about it. I just want two poems from you so we hear your voice.
Yes. This poem is from that first book, In the Company of Spirits, and this is Flames and Angels, Washington, D.C. Mm. There is misery by the busload. Mothers scrounge for bits of bread. Children lose the race with flames. We can't make sense of paper, rock, or scissors, or velvet political games. We lose a day each night, tending to the problems of the world in our dreams. We can't help but contemplate this sinking earth. We bulge with stories that don't belong to us, but they are ours as much as they are theirs. The tribe that is kicked and the tribe that does the kicking. Far away, the border wall is a waste and the trails overgrown. We pick our own pockets and chew on chunks of grief. So if a cleaning woman gets run down by the bus on 17th, awaken again. She is us and them and all that is. This is your chance to run head on into angels and salvage some wings. There might be a bus ride to peace, a way to put the fire to rest. And the second poem, this is from my forthcoming book, This Tangled Body. It's called Wartime World. Dear Paloma, you are my nocturnal witness. We were electric sparklers with dilated eyes on the periphery of the eastern horizon, drifting. After we swam through the sky, I hitched a ride to Neptune, found my family in caves, dead but shivering, killed by colossal crimes. They never found heaven. Just kilometers of confusion, methane pools. My clan blown away, but I hold explosions, a waking dream of bodies. Skin hangs from atrophied legs, eyes blind from infrared suns, hearts outside of chests. There is commotion in the psoas that held femur and spine together. Corpses hot and cold, fever in the stratosphere. Paloma, they are not anesthetized. Ancestors holding their breaths. I didn't mean to land on this planet to see all this. I don't know how to tell you about war, how it splits open buildings and torsos. Brains fall into purgatory. Unable to sense the wind. What kind of survival is that? Paloma, I want to come home to you. Let my body make a prayer out of holding yours. I want to pick tulips for you, peruse thick photo albums, and recall the flesh. Forget the blood. Oh. Remember how we were cigarettes, always lit. Young riots every night of the week, celebrating supernovas without a map, dancing to music under guardian moons, sucking on peace before our country cracked.
Carmen Calatayud, now we know why poetry is going to save the world.
Yeah.
Now we know when people can speak like that, and say hearts outside of chests, when they can tell the truth in a way never told before, I feel better than ever. There is much to be sad about in this world at this moment, but when I hear you two speak, I feel really everything's going to be okay. really. These two poets are representing Latris Latinus, which is a program out of the University of Notre Dame. And it is one that sponsors readings and prizes and archives and education. And it's celebrating its 20th anniversary. And there will be, I think, almost a whole year of events. These two poets will be in Washington, kicking it off at the DC Arts Club. But we got them first. And we're going to go back to Eduardo for another poem, please. Eduardo Corral.
Thank you, Grace. And thank you, Carmen. This is a new poem written thinking about the AIDS epidemic and the COVID epidemic, and a word that I associate with both. And that word appears in each line in this 14-line poem. Lines written during my second pandemic. All water flows toward loneliness. Loneliness is a black eye, a gleaming pit. We have yet to split loneliness like an atom. Loneliness arrives on a leash of scorpions. In my skull, loneliness opens like a parachute. It's illegal to chain loneliness to a fence. Flickers tunnel through loneliness to build nest. I sprinkle a spoon of sugar over loneliness. In some languages, loneliness is imperfect. Antlers crown the bald head of loneliness. Like rough trade, loneliness won't kiss you. Loneliness is crouched in a tree, afraid of dirt. In the dark, loneliness ripens too quickly. Beneath the roof of loneliness, my blood drifts.
Eduardo, how do you do that? Those images, what's in your brain? How does your brain work? Do you just look at things all day long and take notes of the things you see? Are you just a funnel of the world?
I do pay attention to the world continuously, right? Like all writers and artists, I have my notebooks, right? But I'm also very attentive to my attentiveness. I look out for patterns or outliers, right? And I look for the outliers more often, like, or the things that bewilder me in the world, right? And I would say when I encounter something that bewilders me or confuses me, I don't reach for sense making. I don't try to make logic or reason out of that experience. I let it move through me, the simpler language or the imagery, that sensation. I allow myself to experience bewilderment or awe or the sublime. And then after that experience, I reach for the pen and the paper.
Washington University is so lucky. If you teach the way you talk, everyone is going to know how to do it because you just have to tell us how to be more alive and not to be put guardrails up, really.
No.
So that was a beautiful explanation of your process. We're going to get more poetry from you, Carmen Calatayud. And let's hear more of that powerful poetry. Mm-hmm. You're going to change the face of poetry because you took it up a notch, Carmen. Let's hear another poem.
I think writing about survivors of war, such as my parents, who both survived war as children, and generational trauma, and just reflecting what's happening in this country is one of the many great things that poetry can do. This is a poem from the new book. It's called First Generation Daughter at the Shore, and it's after the Nigerian poet Taofeek Ayayemi. The ocean said it knew her, but she didn't know herself. No one's daughter, just a body of two cultures born into a third unnerving land, miles from Atlantic City. A pink shell used as shelter for not belonging to her parents' countries or to a nation that requires a permanent bulletproof vest. There was living inside the sea of not feeling, the sea of slowly losing her fists. Wrestling with swells of trouble, she searched for survival in waves. How to untwine from paternal machismo rule and maternal conquested fear. breasts and ovaries were planted without permission in the sand, washed into water, repeatedly forced back to shore. Legs grew out of coral that floated north from the Keys. Arms sprouted from torso pits. She made her way with all of her parts to a bonfire of mad intentions, sucked on wine, talked with a skeleton on the ocean floor, then learned to walk toward land instead of waiting for bones to float to the top of the foam.
Where do you get your courage? Women are supposed to be nice. Where do you get your courage? I'll tell you something. Breasts and ovaries planted in the sand without permission. Give me a break. Carmen, we were told that women should not write like men do. How did you get your great courage to say everything so brilliantly?
I think that there were a lot of forerunners, you know, that that I learned from, you know, from a young age. And two of them are Joy Harjo and Lorna D. Cervantes, who had incredible influence on me and still do today. You know,
does Joy know that? Have you ever told Joy that?
I've actually taken a workshop with Joy and met her a few times in DC.
Oh, good. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
They care, you know, they care, these icons.
Yeah.
I really wish to be part of your life.
Well, it's not just their writing, but I think it is their spiritual strength that I draw on.
Eduardo, back to you, Eduardo. One thing I wanted to note about your work that I forgot to say is that the pattern, the symmetry, and the unity, it would not be that you have the sparkler, you know, you have the Roman fountain, but it without that glue, without that structure, without your ability for repetition and resonance, I don't think the poems would achieve the greatness that they have and for which they've been recognized, actually. So people should know that there is such a thing as craft.
Yes.
However, I've just read a book on the fact that craft is a European, Western European teaching. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to get Eduardo Carral in the classroom so the craft means different things. Do you agree?
I do. And I think we're readers before we're writers, right? We have to be, we read. Good poems, bad poems, in between kind of poems, right? I think of myself as a reader before I'm a writer, and I read deeply and widely, right? Globally, translated new stuff, right? Contemporary poets, right? But I always tell my students something, right? And I listen to that advice myself. Read living writers, but imitate the dead.
What will you be teaching at Washington University?
I'm teaching an MFA program, so graduate courses, workshops, graduate workshops, seminars, and every once in a while, an undergrad class, I think.
Carmen, you did not take an occupation within the academia. Can you talk about that?
I didn't get my MFA. I did move to Tucson, and eventually I became a mental health clinician. So I work with trauma and grief.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you're doing in every room of your house. That's all I can say. Give us a poem, Carmen. Carmen Calatiud.
I want to read this poem and also just shout out to you, Eduardo, because you're somebody that's been a great influence on my work as well. And I want to read this poem for the poet that both of us love, Francisco X. Alarcón, who died in January 2016. And this poem is called New Sun. We hear your voice in the western sky as firecracker snaps, dance of comets, Nahuatl chants. We hear your voice across groves of olive trees, how it feeds green leaves, nourishes elder roots. We hear your voice from coast to river to tributary, enter our veins, vibrate as it circulates through slow-moving blood. We hear your voice like sage stick smoke that rises, becomes refuge from gunshots and police who target queer, dark skin. We hear your voice as a well-timed tremor of lightning that invites lost sleepwalkers back to life. We hear your voice at the border wall as it blooms into a lake of fire, blaze of justice manifest under fierce maternal moon. We hear your voice invoke the four directions, migrate through the Milky Way, erupt as cosmic prayer, release your marigold sun.
The Tangled Body will be required reading for my students, I can tell you that.
And that was beautiful, Carmen. Thank you.
And that
thank you.
Working, don't you love Eduardo that she's working with people?
Yes.
That she's helping people. Who else would we want
for
to touch other souls? But Carmen, thank you so much for this work. This is a powerful moment. I'm really feeling the emotion of it, that you two represent Letras Latinas now is a great honor for that organization. Mm. And I'm sure that Francisco Aragon is going to be very proud of this program. And you'll be.
And we should mention, I mean, he's been doing this work for 20 years, Francisco Aragon, and he's been a great champion of Latinx poets and poetry in this country. So, my
almost the first.
Yeah.
One of the first,
yeah.
I would say, 20 years going strong, mm-hmm. and has done so much for education and Latinx. And this is, you two are here as a tribute to him. So, let's have a final poem from each of you. Carmen, let's start with you. Carmen Calatayud, and we have to say that her new book is The Tangled Body, coming out soon in 2024, and in collaboration with Letras Latinas.
Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Eduardo. And thank you, Mike, for engineering and pulling this beautiful program together, as you've done for so many years. This poem is called Red Dirt Road. After internal bleeding took my father, I released the air out of my ego, became a deflated balloon in the bed of my life. Friends who couldn't understand brokenness backed away. I was contagious with grief that turned yellow in a petri dish. At night, the moon turned toward my face, forced me to peel off the self-hatred I wore under long sleeves of a black shirt I never washed. I tore down the fence that penned me into a backyard of sadness and snow. Dropped beloved books to discharge weight, flee across state lines. When daylight came, I shook off infection. White blood cells gathered to conquer disease. The skyline showed itself, and I knelt in the wind. Refugees with hellish dreams approached the red dirt road. I was a whirling top under the sun. My arms opened to wave them in, to welcome all the beings of the broken world.
Carmen Calatayud, you make us better than we were. Let's hear a final poem from Eduardo Corral.
This poem is titled Ceremonial, which is a very hard poem to write, and which was one of the reasons I made it the first book, the first poem in the second book, Guillotine, all right? So just get it over with, I say, put it in the front. Ceremonial. Delirious, touch-starved, I pinch a mole on my skin, pull it off like a bead. I pinch and pull until I'm holding a black rosary. Prayer will not cool my fever. Prayer will not melt my belly fat, will not thin my thighs. A copper-faced man once called me beautiful. Stupid, stupid man. I'm obese. I am worthless. I can still feel his thumb, warm, burled, moving in my mouth. His thumb, a flake of sugar, he will not allow me to swallow. desperate for the sting of snow on my skin, rosary tight in my fist. I walk into a closet, crawl into a wedding dress. Oh Lord, here I am. Thank you both, Grace and Carmen, for sharing the space.
Oh Lord, here I am. Oh Lord, here I am. And Carmen, the moon turned toward my face. The moon turned toward my face. I am going to carry those things with me all day long. And this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Production, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sinipet Fund, the Rivada Foundation of the Logan family, the Song in the Room women, Natalie Canavore, and Sandy Jackson Cohen. Mike Turpin is our beloved engineer, and I'm Grace Cavaliers.